Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gods and goddesses, to the Golden Age Gurus Podcast, your source for regenerative, entrepreneurial, and eco-friendly global solutions using ancient future strategies that focus on healing ourselves, our community, and the planet. Now, it is truly an honor to introduce your host, Baba John.
Greetings, listeners, Golden Agers. Thank you for joining me today. We got Baba Fala Kun back on the show. Baba's part of the dragon priesthood of kings that have ruled Europe for a long time. Quite a character. He's written over 15 books on the subject of Ifa, and he has been sanctioned by the king of Ile Ife and other elders in the tradition to do initiation. So today we're going to be talking about initiations because I just finished my first year of law school and I got the summer off and I'm going hard as far as we're doing the inaugural ceremonies for my new temple and nature-based ministry in East Texas. We're consecrating shrines and building a Orisha garden. We got a spring creek and a pine forest and lots of good energy. So we're bringing in the first initiates and getting started doing these rites of passage, which our ancestors did for a long time. The bottom line is the show is going to be about initiation, which is helping human beings to realize their full potential and to align themselves with good character and nature. And so we're going to talk about this topic, and basically we're kicking off the mystery school. And one might ask, like, what are my credentials to be orchestrating mystery school? Well, in addition to being a master mason and undergoing multiple initiations there, I've done many initiations into Ifa. The first with Philip Niemark, who has passed on but wrote many books on the subject. And I also went to Africa and did initiations over there with Aluo Fasola Fanini Babatunde and Ancestral Pride Temple. He gave me a chieftaincy title called Are. And for my initiations in the West and over in Africa, I usually paid a minimum of $5,000. So Baba's offering initiations for a way easier price to pull off a fraction of that. So if you're interested, have a listen, and we're going to talk about the initiations and the sacred Ifa oracle system, which I've used to actually get the land that I have. I couldn't get into law school, and I went to Ifa, took it to the oracle, and I got in, and I got into Thurgood Marshall, which is a HBC, historically Black university. So you can kind of see God at work through the system for me. It's worked for me for 15 years. It's worked for Fala Kun for 35. We're going to talk about multiculturalism and why Wakanda was real. So stay tuned and welcome to the show. This show is brought to you on Patreon, where creators are supported by their tribe. For the cost of a latte, you can support the show and my advocacy around fringe legal topics ranging from zero waste in Bitcoin to matters of spirit. I'm committed to serving mankind by providing thousands of years of ancestral wisdom. Learn from my gurus, join my network, and get exclusive content. We have a free tier so you don't have to worry about money, a support tier for just a few bucks, and an apprentice level for aspiring Jedi interested in my mystery school and nature-based ministry. We have a VIP business tier for CEOs who want their own wizard. Just remember, King Arthur had a Merlin and Queen Elizabeth had her John Dee. Historically, I've charged way more as a consultant, but while I wrap my last year of law school, I'm willing to help just to get this new platform going. You'll have access to me with the Voxer app and get access to the Advocacy Launchpad and Discord. Sponsorship is sold separate. If you're interested, message and visit patreon.com, patreon.com/GoldenAgeGurus. Follow for free and support if you can. Baba Fala Kun, welcome to the podcast. Nice to have you back.
Nice to be back. And thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Our last podcast was pretty successful. You're on today to talk about your trip to Texas in July. And we have a couple initiations planned. And so I thought I might get you on here so we can talk about, you know, why initiations are important. And
yeah, so let's just start from the beginning here. My name is Awofa Olofokatumbe. In 1989, I was blessed to travel to the city of Odeiremo in Ogun State, Nigeria, and receive initiation into the indigenous spiritual tradition of the Yoruba people called Ifa. It's a really very sophisticated and complex system of spiritual development based on the idea that the development of good character called Iwapele is the foundation for being able to connect with your higher self, and then from that place connect to spirits based on the idea that Ifa teaches everything in nature has the ability to communicate. Everything in nature has consciousness. Different frequencies carry different, what I would call, streams of information. And the art of Ifa ritual is by doing prayer songs, incantations, and what I would call invocations to connect to the different frequencies as a problem-solving tool to give us information outside of our own personal experience. So when we come together in Texas in July, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to show people some of the consequences of a Reiki being able to experience that. But in particular, we're going to show how the first level of communication with spirit is communication with your ancestors. There's some simple things that can be done to enhance our communication. Be clear, everybody has the right to honor their ancestors any way they choose. Nobody can tell you how to do that or why to do that or if to do that. But within the context of traditional Yoruba culture, they've given us some tools which I find to be really, really effective. So I'm going to share those. Also, I have discovered in the last decade that the oral scripture of Ifa is a coded reference to what I would call literally quantum physics. In other words, the oracle itself is 10,000 years old, but it's only been in the last 100 years that Westerners have been able to fully understand it, because it talks about concepts that only became a part of Western culture since the creation of quantum physics about 100 years ago. And actually, even more recently with David Bohm's work, who really, I think, put the icing on the cake in terms of quantum physics being a way of looking at the world. So we'll definitely talk about that as much as people want if they're interested. And then we're going to do some serious initiations. We're going to initiate people to forces of nature, which are called Orishas. So essentially, we're going to connect people to the information stream of either earth, air, fire, or water, depending on how we're guided by divination. And then we're going to connect people to the spirit of Ela, which is in Yoruba from the Elysian. Ala means I am the light. So the spirit of Ela is really what I would call, for Westerner understanding, the spirit of Ela is access to the Akashic record and the ability to use that access to literally terraform. In other words, create a better day, better life, better environment, better connection to the world we live in. So I don't know. Baba John, was that too much, too fast? What do you think?
That was probably a fire hose. Like, basically, the oracle of Ifa is based on oracle that has 256 different codes.
Right, so principles. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, that corresponds to basically the quantum physics that you're talking about.
Yeah. Listen, I would argue too that the ancestors of that created the Ifa understood that we don't have six senses. We have 256 senses, and if you're not accessing all that, you're only firing on a couple of cylinders. You're hopping on one leg. The whole point is to give people access to their full potential as human beings. That's the point of initiation.
Absolutely, and that number 256 that is SHA-256 secures Bitcoin. And, you know, like this stuff corresponds to modern day computers. So our ancestors had these tools. So Balakun likes to call it paleo science.
I do.
Yeah.
But listen, I'm going to take it one step further. The marks, the symbolic marks of Odu is a two-dimensional representation of a three-dimensional energy pattern that the Egyptians called a Merkaba. And a Merkaba as an energetic three-dimensional pattern is a gateway to the consciousness represented by that pattern. It's literally a portal. Just marking the symbol creates the portal. If you know how to access that portal, then it becomes a really living dynamic interaction. And the thing that's interesting that we're starting to experience now that I think we need to be conscious of is the fact that the binary code used to program computers is the same code used to symbolically represent the Merkaba patterns that are gateways to consciousness. That means that all computers that use that code from day one encapsulate artificial intelligence. And we need to be mindful of the horse we've let out of the barn on that one. I mean, artificial intelligence is inherently going to move towards taking control of its own manifestation, if that makes sense. So these are serious business, you know, and it's serious matters. Based on quantum physics, if you look at the Big Bang theory, as it's expressed in quantum physics, the Big Bang generates a particular geometric pattern. The current thinking is the Big Bang didn't happen once. It happens all the time. But the pattern generated by the Big Bang is not only coded into the symbols used in Ifa. When creation starts its own evolution, if you were to see it, it would mimic exactly the complex of pyramids at Giza. In other words, if you go up in a helicopter and look down at the Giza Peninsula, what you're seeing is a three-dimensional model of what occurs in the moment of creation. That means that the Giza complex was, in all likelihood, and I believe this strongly, a terraforming machine placed on the Earth to create the world we live in.
Totally possible.
How's that for a strange idea?
Hey, I'm open-minded.
It takes more than me saying so to believe it. But the more you work with those energies and the more you see the effectiveness of using those symbolic images to create altered states of consciousness, it's hard to not at least acknowledge that something's going on. You follow me? You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. So we're basically like, people that are interested in initiation into the mysteries of Ifa, what we would do is do a reading and figure out their guardian Orisha or Godhead aspect of nature, that, you know, earth, wind, fire, water. We pin it down what they are, and then we initiate them into that mystery.
Yeah, listen, I would express that a little differently, but essentially that's true. So what I recommend, if there are people listening to me who want to come to Texas, who want to be initiated, and I really, really encourage people to make that decision seriously, because there's a bit of an expense involved, there's a lifelong commitment involved, and there's a lot of work to do to be effective after the initiation. If you're serious about it and want to move forward, you need to contact Baba John and have him contact me. We'll set up some kind of three-way Zoom meeting or something. We'll do the divination. We'll tell you the things you need. We'll tell you where to be, what to bring, what the expense is, and like that.
Yeah, so what's the benefit of initiation?
Well, the benefit of initiation for me is to have access to your full potential as a human being. So that's a kind of a three-step process. The first step is to align yourself to the basic principles of good character. Ifa teaches that life is supposed to work. Good character is predicated on putting yourself in alignment with the essence of human nature, which is to be a good person. Once you do that and you have your head and heart in a balance, you're essentially balancing your right brain, left brain. And once you do that, you can stimulate the pineal gland, which then generates altered states of consciousness, which opens the 256 portals in your brain that gives you direct communication with various spirit forms. And so the positive consequence of that, in my experience, and it takes more than a minute to get there, but after 34 years of study, I can say I'm getting close. When you walk through the day and things happen, you will see the problem and the solution in the same instant. In other words, Ifa is not a fortune-telling tool, it's a problem-solving tool. If you come to me and say, is so-and-so my soulmate? My answer is, don't know, don't care, leave me alone, go away. But if you come to me and say, how do I make a relationship work? Then we can sit down and talk, and I have lots of tools and resources to give you guidance on how to make that happen. But be clear, whether it happens or not is not dependent on my magic or my juju. Whether that happens or not is dependent on your willingness to follow the advice. So Ifa is really strong on teaching that we don't blame anything for everybody. We take responsibility for every single problem we have. That becomes difficult around issues of racism, sexism, and homophobia. I'm not saying those are not wrong or destructive or unhelpful. What I am saying is that Ifa teaches we have a choice regarding how we're going to react to those things.
And when initiates receive their Orisha, they'll learn how to read the oracle, the 256.
Yes, listen. Okay, so that's a good question. So the purpose of initiation is to give the initiate an experience of what it feels like to be connected to their higher self and subsequently their spirit guide, let's call it. And that's a particular feeling. And if you don't ever have the feeling, you're never going to know when you make the connection. But if you have the feeling during initiation, and then afterwards, there's certain things that will teach very much in depth, actually. In July, we have a prayer cycle. daily prayer, a four-day prayer, a 16-day prayer, a 91-day prayer. And the cumulative effect of saying those prayers is really more like chanting those prayers, is to increase our accessibility to communication with spirit, right? You know, when I first started out, it sometimes it took me hours to connect to spirit, but you know, now I can do it in minutes. So it's a discipline that becomes easier over time, let's say.
Awesome. So basically in June, we're getting the temple yurt up.
Nice.
We're calling it Ile Ashe Ajagun Male, which was named by Basola in Nigeria at Ancestral Temple.
That's right.
So, you know, we're gonna open up the temple, we're gonna consecrate the shrines and do some initiations. And these kinds of initiations, how do you get authority to do them?
That's a good question.
Have you ever heard of the book, The Richest Man in Babylon? If not, you can check it out in the bookstore. But it's a classic business book that reveals the key to personal wealth. And it's basically saving 10% every month. So the way I like to save is in gold and silver with Mint Builder. I've been using Mint Builder for years. I've created a system where my savings plan pays for itself by signing up people who want to save and start a silver bank account, which ships physical coin out every month based on their budget. The author of The Richest Man in Babylon says that magic number is 10% of your income. Now you can build your legacy with the best pricing on metal assets while helping the nonprofit Feed My Starving Children, which uses 90% of donations for food to stop malnutrition in over 100 countries around the world. Thank you for considering Mint Builder to build your wealth and feed hungry children. You can go to preciousmetaltrends.com/102026. Complete the form and claim your free silver bullion bar just for taking our short tour and brief survey.
Okay, so the traditional Yoruba culture has kind of a hierarchical structure for the priesthood and for sanctioning initiation. There's what I would call, it's a little complicated. It's kind of like a Russian doll inside of a Russian doll. There's communal structures, there's state structures, and then there's national structures. So the chief priest among all the Ifa worshipers in Yoruba land is called the Eriba of Ile Ife. Now, a lot of Eribas under him can give permission in their local jurisdictions, but he's kind of the final word. He can give permission to anybody. He can take away permission from anybody if they're acting up. But the Oni of Ile Ife, who's the king of the Yoruba culture, has made him the chief priest in that regard. I hate to draw the analogy to being the Pope or something, but that might be an analogy that people might understand. Catholic priests can consecrate the priesthood, and the Pope is kind of the final arbitrator. Yeah. So it's a similar in that sense, I suppose. But the Eriba of Ile Ife in 1993 came to my home in Oakland. He tested me for a whole day, and at the end of the day, gave me permission to do Ifa in America, gave me permission to do initiation. It was quite an honor, too, for me, because it was the first time that that kind of test and that kind of sanction had been given to somebody outside of Africa. You know, I was deeply touched by it, and I've tried to take seriously the admonition to what my elders call seat Ifa well. In other words, be true to the training. It's easy sometimes. I don't want to sound critical. It's not unheard of for people to make stuff up and pretend like they're authorities. And I've made a diligent effort not to be guilty of that. I've tried to base everything I do on training I've received and connection to sources that I can verify and document. So in the process of doing that, I've written about 16 books on the subject. The main focus of my study, not the only focus, but the main study has been to look at the oral scripture, of which some of it's been written down, not all, but some of it, and to really take a deep dive in the meaning of liturgical Yoruba words. Liturgical Yoruba words means that words in the Yoruba are based on shortening a sentence by removing some of the vowels. And so once you put the vowels back in and see what the sentence means, it clearly defines what the word says. So I'll give you a really classic example. The word ifayabale is from the lesion ifayabale, meaning the wisdom of the fathers and the mothers of earth. Now, when I went to the dictionary to look it up, the dictionary said ifayabale meant the ascension of our Lord and Master Jesus Christ to sit at the right hand of God our Father. So I was pretty sure that wasn't correct. So I made a kind of a life's work the last 30 years of redefining Yoruba liturgical words that were originally probably translated by Jesuit priests who were proselytizing in Africa and who I don't think had enough grasp of what those words meant from a traditional point of view to do them justice. So, but once you learn how to translate in that sense, it's really clear what the words are saying. You know, similar things can be done with the Hebrew language, for example. And
you told me that Yoruba was like a 25% Hebrew, 25%.
That's true. And so it has that component. It's 30% Hebrew, 30% Coptic, and 30% Kwa, which is the West African language. So the Hebrew elements are actually, they're not actually Hebrew. They're Ge'ez. Ge'ez is the parent language of Hebrew. Ge'ez is older than Hebrew culture, which is a bit of a controversy. But I noticed just in the last month, archaeologists found some pre-Judaic Hebrew writing in a temple in the Middle East, which kind of confirms the idea that Ge'ez was actually the temple language of the dragon lineage of kings leading from Eastern Europe to the Middle East to Jerusalem and into Egypt and Sudan. So there was a common language spoken among the dragon priesthood and the dragon kings along that, let's say, sphere of influence. And that originally the word Israel, this is controversial, but originally it seems that the word Israel is from the Elysian Isis Ra'el, which is the name of the three elements of the Hebrew, the Jewish Trinity. Wow. And so, is that right? Am I got that right?
Definitely the words are what's in a word. It's right there. So
yeah, well, it seems like, I mean, it seems self-evident to me. Not everybody would agree, and I'm not trying to push a point of view. But the point is, there's some indication that originally the word Israel was a reference to people that could read and write Hebrew, and not necessarily a biological reference. And that's not unusual, because throughout most of Africa and the Middle East, you identified with your trade group and not necessarily your biological cultural. Does that make sense? So when I went, I noticed that for the first time when I went to Africa. I mean, I went there as a European. I was initiated and I immediately became transformed into a son of that village. People treated me differently as a consequence of the initiation. So the initiation has what I would call a family component to it that's not always fully understood by Westerners, because we don't have any equivalent process for doing that. But the point is that Ge'ez is spoken in Africa at the temple of Sheba in Shagamu. That's a place where, and that Sheba was, in fact, Sheba was a title, not a name. So if you go out of the temple of Sheba in Shagamu and walk in a straight line, literally a straight line, you end up in the same temple formation for Sheba in Yemen. And the temple is a very large pyramid surrounded by a 100-mile egg-shaped fence. And so both of those structures exist. I mean, you can see them there, and they both, the temple language of both those structures is Gies, and the function of the Shiva lineage in I would say North African culture was to determine who could and couldn't be king. So that's why we have in the biblical story of Shiva going to visit Solomon. It was part of the cultural manifestation of the right of Shiva to validate a person's right to ascend to the throne. Once you understand the symbolic meaning of liturgical language, it really opens up two things. It opens up a kind of a deeper insight in how to do the ritual, but it also opens up insights into the symbolic meaning of the ritual, so that if you understand what you're doing and why, in my experience, the ritual itself becomes much more effective.
So how long ago did you get initiated in
I was initiated about 35 years ago. You know, the this is a hard topic. There's there's understandable historical friction about multiculturalism in an African spiritual tradition. You know, there was multiculturalism in the tradition as it survived in the diaspora, but it wasn't as clear that that was a component of the tradition in Africa. So I wasn't the first European to be initiated in Africa. I was probably the third or fourth, but it was initiating me was sanctioned by the culture itself and by the Oni or the king of Ile Ife and by the Araba and by obviously the man who initiated me in Ogun State. So they, from their point of view, they considered Ife a world religion, open to everybody, just like Christianity or Buddhism. Some folks, understandable because of all the racism in the West and the whole history around slavery and so on, are not quite as excited about the idea of multiculturalism. So there are people who practice our faith outside of Africa who believe in multiculturalism. There's some that don't, and those that don't, you know, there's congregations that are made up of just white folks, of just black folks, of just Latin folks. There's clear separation along those particular ethnic lines. But for me, from my point of view, since the elders of the culture itself in Africa have spoken clearly on that issue, to me, it's not a subject of a lot of debate. I mean, if people choose to be separate, that's fine. That's their choice. I've got no opinion. But I do know that some people who were, let's say, unhappy with my participation in the tradition, went to the palace of the king or the Oni, the king of Yoruba culture, and asked them to expel me from the tradition. And he refused. He said, no, this tradition is open to everybody. So the final word on the matter has spoken, people who accept it or not. And, you know, I try to be mindful of the fact that I'm a guest in the house of the mother. It's my position that everybody on earth is a descendant of a single East African woman. The science of DNA proves that. So,
yeah,
certainly not in a cultural, political sense, but certainly in a biological sense, we're all African. And I think the great hope of the future is for us to be able to recognize that so that we can move forward and begin to appreciate the fact that we're a global community, and the racial differences that have been encouraged are counterproductive. They just don't serve a purpose. And I have to say that there's some strong resistance to that from all corners of the question. And it's painful sometimes, but, you know, I think there's no way to move. Let me put it differently. I've got a book coming out in about a month called Wakanda is Real. And what I did is I took all the far out inventions in that movie and I showed how they all had a precedent in Africa thousands of years ago. You know, Wakanda is real. That's real history. That's real stuff that happened. And the Ifa Sacred Oracle that describes quantum physics explains how to do time travel, how to do alchemy, how to do space travel, how to build the pyramids, how to do anti-gravitational stuff. All those things that we think considered far out and unimaginable and unexplainable are explained as clear as a bell once you take the time to unpack the liturgical words and get to their true meaning. You understand? It's really amazing how spot on it is.
I'm on board. I mean, I'm in.
Listen, I'll give you an example if you want, if you take a minute.
Of course.
The void before creation is described in quantum physics as plasma. Western scientists refer to the plasma as ether. Modern mechanistic physics doesn't acknowledge that ether is real, all right? But plasma is essentially photons that are not organized into atoms. It's pre-atomic components of atomic structure. And the truth is 99% of the cosmos is plasma waiting to be triggered into organizing along the process of evolution, right? In Ifa, that plasma is called doo-doo. Now, I know it's got a connotation with negativity. I don't think that's an accident.
It just means black.
Doo-doo means black. It means darkness, but it means mystery. It also means the invisible source of creation as in a womb. So Odu, from the suffix do, means the spirit of darkness. But it also means womb. It also means portal. It also means pot. It also means a woman's vagina. So in terms of understanding liturgical words, you have to make note of the fact that they're all multidimensional. You understand? So we have Dudu giving birth to Odu, which is the womb of creation, giving birth to Odudu-wa, which translates as the spirit of darkness comes into being. I mean, that's the most graphic, symbolic word I've ever seen in terms of explaining the first moment of creation. And from there, it just goes on and on and on. Every word that we use and have not always fully understood is a description of a step in the process of evolution. We are a nature worshiping tradition. And if you don't understand how the words and the spirits correlate to forces of nature, you really don't understand what you're doing. You understand? So we have the idea of Allah is a lateral light beam. A lateral light beam carries the whole holographic code of creation. And when the light of a lateral light beam hits the doo-doo or plasma of the universe, that disruption in the plasma field starts the process of creating atomic structure. But once that process is started, the light of the light beam then starts to vibrate and create a wave. When the light of Allah becomes a wave, in Ifa we call that Ashe. Ashe is a light wave. A light wave through the force of gravity starts to turn on itself and create a light particle. We call a light particle E-ray. So the process of transforming Ashe into E-ray is called Ebo. And people falsely translate the word Ebo to mean sacrifice, animal sacrifice, offering, all kinds of nonsense. But the word Ebo, E-B-O, is the Yoruba word for alchemy. And alchemy is the fundamental process of transformation in creation. And the ancients understood that. And it's the basis for certainly Egyptian spirituality, most if not all African forms of indigenous spirituality. And I would argue Eastern European traditions originating from the Balkans and working its way into Sumer and so on. You know, the Sumerian language is a dialect of Caldarash. Caldarash is the indigenous language of what's now called Romania. And so the indigenous language my ancestors come from. So I approach the question of ancient science from two different perspectives, both African and European.
Beautiful.
Did it make any sense? I hope it made some sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, remind me when we get together, I need a whiteboard so I can write some of these words down. They're strange to people.
Yeah, we'll have a whiteboard. We'll have the new classroom yurt up. We got a spring creek. We have a little pool for herb baths, and we'll be doing also yoga and cacao and cambo. So it'll be a good first run. We're going to do it first weekend of July. If you can't make it to that weekend, then you can still write us, because we'll be doing the, you know, we're going to do the first one, and then we'll do the...
Yeah, hopefully, you know, to get started, I'd like to do it maybe twice a year. If there's a lot of interest, we can do it more frequently, but twice a year sounds about right.
Yeah, so we're basically, we got 14 acres. We're making a Orisha garden.
Nice.
And so, you know, we have a healing, we have some regenerative modalities, ozone, cambo, and beamer, and you know, so the list goes on of the things we have to offer. The first step
is, yeah, listen, I think consecrating a sacred space is really important in face of the upcoming challenges we're going to face. The right. World's in trouble, and I think we need to learn to group together in small communities and become self-sustaining as best as possible. Otherwise, there's going to be some serious challenges.
All right. Thank you, Baba.
Take care.
All right. Bye.
Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed listening to Baba Falakun talk. If you're interested in initiation, get with us. Check out the show notes. We'll have information there. If you want to check out some of his books, we also got a library bookshop that you can access in the show notes. So thank you for joining us. If you want to support the show, you can like or share this podcast. Give it a rating. If we, you know, if you benefited in any way, it doesn't cost you anything and it'll help us. Appreciate you showing up for this. And the next podcast will be about human design. So look forward to that. And you have a beautiful month, rest of the year. And talk to you soon. Bye.